The fact that he can't bring them back is only an accidental feature. It's the nature of the aggression that you're moving totally against this person. You're annihilating it. You see? There's a Gemara, there's a Chazal that says, they learn from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Halbein Shinaya Mecholav. So the Pasuk says, Halbein Shinaya Mecholav. So the Chazal derive from, they don't derive from the Pasuk actually, but they use the Pasuk as a hook, a smach. And they say, what does it mean, Halbein Shinaya? Halbein Shinaya means, when it's a Pasuk in Vayechi, in the Brachas. Halbein Shinaya, his teeth are white from milk. So they say, Halbein Shinayim, the white of the teeth, is mecholav, is better than cholav. What does it mean? Halbein Shinayim means when a person smiles, he shows his teeth. See? Halbein Shinayim. Now, cholav means, the Gemara says, cholav means where a person is starving and you give him milk. You give him sustenance. Cholav represents sustenance. Milk represents sustenance. So the Gemara says that it's more important to smile to a person. It's more important than it's greater. A person who smiles to another individual is doing a greater deed than a person who sees somebody starving and he gives them physical sustenance. And he gives them physical sustenance. What kind of an idea is that? Why is that? So what is the pshat though? What's the pshat in the Chazal? What do they mean? What they mean is that the psychological factor in man is much greater than the physical. Psychological is much more important. And if he imagines the physical, not the physical, the psychological. So therefore, since a human being is of such a nature that the psychological is such a powerful force, it's even more important to him, really, in his essential nature, his essential drive, the psychological is more important. So that's why if you smile to a person, you recognize him, that recognition is giving him more satisfaction than physical sustenance, even. You see. So that's why, since that's the case, so malbin pnei chaver barabim, a person who degrades another individual and offends him to that degree psychologically, it's tantamount to killing him. It's in terms of the offense against another human being, it's tantamount to killing him, and it's yahar gval yavo. Point to many. It was called malbin pnei chaver. Malbin means he turns white. The blood goes away and he turns white. That's what it means. That's right. You have to gauge accordingly. You have to go accordingly. Point to the person. Next you have, the next one is Mefer Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu. What's Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu? What is Mefer Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu? It means that he doesn't think it's important that he should appear as a nomel. He appears as an oral. So, what is Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu? Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu is not that hard to understand. Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu really represents human perfection. That's his halach lefanei ve'yesam, and means it represents human perfection. That's Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu. That human perfection means where he's tamim, where he's not a dichotomized personality, but everything that he views, that he sees God in every. In every area of his life. So that's the perfection of represents the perfection of man. And then you have Torah. As a matter of fact, Torah is only three brisos between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and Mila is 13, because Mila represents the whole perfection of man. And Torah is the means and the system of perfection. And that's why really only have two times we have an Isser and an Asay and you have a Chiv Koros. One is by Mila and one is by Korban Pesach. Because Korban Pesach represents the initiation of the system. Because Korban Pesach means that Lebris. It's Fila Mila and Atzos Domen, Korban Pesach. So if you don't bring Korban Pesach, it means you're denying the whole inception of the system of the Yadav. Those two cases, if you fail to do the Mitzvah Asay, so you're Chayav Koros. But Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu, Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu represents the human perfection. That a person can, it's possible for man to divert all his energies towards the knowledge of God, and he shouldn't be a dichotomized individual, and everything and every experience that he only has one concern, and that is God, and there's nothing else in his life.
What's so special about Mila?
It means he pulls the skin around the Mila to cover it up. So it appears, he appears as if he does not have a meal anymore. That's what he does. Moshe Chalak. Next thing is, of course, the last thing is Megalapanim Batara Shalok Halacha. Megalapanim Batara Shalok Halacha means that it's two ways. The Gemara says, it's the Gemara Sanhedrin, that there's two ways that this takes place. The Gemara is on the Aftarik Tess on the Beis. The Gemara says, what is an apikaris? So the Gemara says that Rav Rabbi Chanina Amri Tavayu Zem Avaza Talmud Chacham. And a person who degrades the Talmud, degrades the scholar. Rabbi Yochanan Rishu Ben Levi Amri Zem Avaza Chaver B'fnei Talmud Chacham. Means somebody who embarrasses his chaver in front of a Talmud Chacham. That's an apikaris. So the apikaris doesn't really mean a person that denies the system. Yeah. Bishlam Lamandam Avaza Chaver B'fnei Talmud Chacham apikaris. Havi, that's good according to one that says if you degrade your friend in front of Talmud Chacham, that's considered an apikaris. So mavaz, the Talmud Chacham atzmo, a person who degrades the Talmud Chacham himself, is considered megala panim batara shelo kalacha. It means that he demonstrates that he doesn't really have any respect for the system. El alaman doma, mavaz, the Talmud Chacham atzmo, apikaris. Havi, a person that degrades the Talmud Chacham himself is an apikaris. So what is the case of megala panim batara? So the Gemara says, "Gam Menashe ben Chizkia, that he used to say that what's the purpose of he used to darshan these different psukim. The Simna Haisa Pelegesh. He says Moshe had to write that. What do you need all these things? Vayisa Vayachana, all these psukim. What's the purpose of all these psukim? What do you need these psukim? So the Gemara darshan is really why it says Simna Haisa Pelegesh. But whatever it is." But it means a person like Menashe used to say, what's the importance of these various psukim, these incidental psukim about all the alufim and esav and all these different things? Who cares about what Moshe had to write a history book? What did he write this for? See, that's what Menashe used to say. So Gemara says that's considered megalapanim batara shalok halach. That's megalapanim batara shalok halach. So you have a malagleg va'omer shekusva Moshe shalol letzarich. He wrote it for no reason at all. Well, come the fire, Shtahina Megal Upon Torah. All right? Then the Gemara really says that a Basco came out and he has a Timna Mai, Timna Bas Malachim Havoi. She was really a very important, she was a princess. The Chsiv, Aluf Lotan, Aluf Timna. So it says, Bosa eats al Avram Yitzchak v'Yakov v'lo kiblua. She went to Megayer. Holcha v'hoitza pilegesh l'alifas ben Esav. So she went and she became the pilegesh of Alifas ben Esav. Why? Amra mutav te shifcha l'uma zu v'lo te gevira l'uma acheras. She could have really been a great queen. But she says, no, she'd rather be related somehow to Avram Yitzchak v'Yakov and have a lower status. So she became a pelegish for Esav. So the Gemara says, so you see that there's a reason why the Torah wrote it. You see, but of course the only question is that's the similarity of pelegish. But there are many, many different psukim that the Torah in the Torah there that Menashe would continue to criticize. There's one answer. You have to understand it. But that's megala panam tarash lo kalacham. Megala panam tarash lo kalacham means he says that certain parts of the Torah are not important. Moshe had to write these things. What importance is there? That's one shot, or else it means it's mevaza talmid chachamim. And the Gemara says, what is the why are they mevaza talmid chachamim? It's an interesting thing. The Gemara says because they say that they say like this. They say that the Gemara says, "Avigash gugan man." The Gemara says, the Gemara gives another one. What's the definition of apikaris? Amar Rav Yosef kigan hani da'amri mayahana lon rabban. Like those people who say, what do the Chachamim help us? Ledidu karu, ledidu tanu. They learn themselves, they teach themselves. How do they help anybody else? So, the Gemara says, Amar baya hai megalapan v'tar namiyu. Why? Dechsiv in lo brisi yom v'layla chukashmai v'aras lasanti. So what does it mean? It means she mahanim lo lom makaymen. So the Gemara says that people used to say, what do the Chacham help us? They sit and learn themselves in the base medrash, and they say, what do they do for us? So the Gemara says that's a denial, that's a kofar batara. Why? Because they're denying the fact that in Lo Brisi Yomam Shomai Yom Valevach Shomai Rasa Santi, which means that the whole world exists because of Talmid Chacham, which means to say that in the person of the Talmud Chacham, the whole purpose of the world is found. So someone who denies that principle, is a kofa batara, is not the curse, and he's a megalopon batara. Chacham don't have to help him out; they don't have to do anything for him. They learn themselves. That's what they're helping him, because they're giving existence to the entire system. That's what the Gemara says. A person who doesn't accept that idea is a kofa batara. Okay?
So that's what do you need to
know? So you understand, now we can understand at least why these things are in the realm. Why these things are in the realm of Ein lo chelek l'olam haba. You can see why every one of these things are Yisori Adas. But there still is something that has to be understood about it. Namely, why in these specific expressions? That's the question, you see. In other words, I could understand if a person denies the concept of Doreshes Hashem. I could understand if a person denies the concept of bris, human perfection. Or if he's a kofa batara, I could understand that too. But machalas hakachim means that the man thinks lightly or acts lightly towards the institution of perfection, of raising his emotions to a higher level. Every one of these things makes sense 100%. But the only question is, why in this specific form? Why in this specific form? And also another question is, what does it mean afpishiyesh b'yad ha-Torah masim tovim? I mean, if he has Torah masim tovim, he's on a high level. Still, it's in the chayav on the ball. If he has Torah masim tovim, how could he be denying these principles? These are essential principles. How could he have Torah masim tovim if he denies the main principles of the others? What's the answer?
There's one common link to them, and that person
is Mechalas HaKachim Sof Kol Sof has a certain form. What is the specific form? That the man is Mefago, is Metame Kachim. It's true, it's very nice to talk about the concepts behind the Kachim. But the fact is that it says Ein Lechon Labo is only if he does this action. I mean, it would seem, of course, if he denies the principles, then I would say Ein Lechon Labo also. Right. But why in this form, in this particular form? And it says, Afishesh B'yad Torah Masim Tovim. Why? What's the answer? See, both questions really answer each other. Because Afapishiyesh B'yad Torah Masim Tovim really means that he's a philosopher. That's what it means. Torah Masim Tovim. He's a philosopher. But nevertheless, it's Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. Why? Because Yadus is more than just a philosophy. You see, there's, of course, every halacha has a philosophy behind it. But it's more than just a philosophy. Yadus demands the recognition of a metaphysical system. Metaphysical system means that there is something, there is a metaphysical existence here. It's not just a matter of a concept. It's not just a matter of a philosophical concept. Machalas HaKachim means, in every one of these cases, what it's telling you is that a metaphysical concept has been embodied in the halachic structure. And if a person defiles the halachic structure, then it's Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. It means to say that he doesn't recognize, he doesn't agree, he doesn't admit that this action is actually dictated by God, is created by Chochmas Hashem, and it embodies, it represents a philosophical concept. But if you accept the concept and you don't accept the halachic structure that God gave to it, then it's Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. That's what it really means.
What
would
make somebody make that mistake?
What?
For
plenty of people feel, you see, that, I mean, the easiest one to take is Nevada Samadim. Why? Because plenty of people feel, of course, they'll recognize the philosophical idea of Moed. Who's going to deny the idea of Chochmas Hashem searching for God? Nobody. But when it comes to Chol HaMoed, they'll say, no. So I'll search for him next week. You see? The philosophical idea they admit to. They accept and they admit to the philosophical idea. But what they don't admit to is the halachic representation of the philosophical idea. So it's a denial of yadus on a metaphysical level. In other words, insofar as the mitzvos Hashem embodying and representing metaphysical concepts, and that this is God's will, that this is what they are. If he denies that, so then he's in lechel olam. That's why, you see. So every one of these five things are every one of these five things. Moshe chalasa, personal Moshe chalasa. So what does he mean? What's the who needs a what do you mean a bris? I must have the physical bris. He's a philosopher. He recognizes that there's a perfection, recognizes human perfection, but a physical bris, remove the basara Allah. I mean, this is so important. This is a so what? So what if it's not? What if I don't have a bris? So what? It means he denies the fact that God, the source of all chokhmah, gave this action. Made this action the metaphysical representation of a metaphysical idea. It's a metaphysical reality, you see. If he denies the metaphysical reality that God gave, then he's an Ein Lechel Olam Haba, even though he accepts the concept. Even though he accepts the concept.
The difference between that and the guy is that they need it.
What?
We're saying the guy denied.
So therefore, it means Ein Lechel Olam Haba means why? Because it's not just a matter of perfection. See, Yadus is not just a matter of philosophical perfection. Yadus is a matter of the individual recognizing a world of metaphysical reality. A world of metaphysical reality. In the metaphysical reality, the halachic system is a substance, so to speak. It's an entity. If he denies that entity, even though he agrees with the philosophy, afishyesh biyado Torah masim tovim, the man could have Torah, he could be a great chacham, he could have masim tovim, a very good person. He's a philosopher. That's what it means. The man's a philosopher. Ein lochel lalabah. Because he denies the structures that God created, and because of certain metaphysical principles, that's why Zayin L'Chalam Abba. That's the common denominator in all these in these five cases. Okay.
Well,
you see, the two questions answer each other. The first question was, how could he deny his principles and be a Heftar Masim Tovim? And the second question was why the particular structure? Why the particular structure? The answer is that one answers the other. It's precisely that's why it means precisely the structure, the actual halachic structure. He breaks the halachic structure, and that's why it's possible that he has Torah Masim Tovim, because it's possible for the person to be a philosopher, and yet he breaks the structure. But it means that the structures that represent, if a person does something, why only these five things? Because a person does something else, you see, it's an avera. It's an avera, there's no question about it. A person ate chazas, so it's bal taiva, it's an avera. But these five things represent the yesodei hadas. These five things represent yesodei hadas. And since these yesodei hadas were embodied in a halachic structure, the breaking of that structure is a denial of the yesod, because he's caught. Either he's denying the yesod, or else he's denying the fact that the yesod was embodied in this halachic metaphysical reality. So in which case, it's a kofa biker. So that's why it's only these cases. If a person did another isser, he's not caught up in that, because he did another isser, so he broke the halachic structure. So what? But over here, it's only one of two possibilities. Either the man in breaking it, you see, he denies the principle behind it. The principle behind it is not so important to him. So then on that count, it's Ein Lechel Olam Haba. Or if he accepts the principle, but he denies the halachic parallel, so then he's denying the metaphysical reality of halacha. So it's again, it's Ein Lechel Olam Haba. Whereas in another case, a person just doesn't have error, so it doesn't mean necessarily he's lax with regard to the halachic obligation. But the halachic obligation doesn't involve a basic principle, a fundamental principle of yadas.
As far as denial of the metaphysical, what difference does it make?
That's why in other cases, if he doesn't put on tefillin properly, the yesod that he's denying. In another mitzvah, if he didn't put on tzitzis.
In fact,
that's right. So he's lax, he's not fair. But this is too important a principle for him to deny it. If he denies Drishas Hashem, or if he denies the system of Karbonis, of Kochim, of Shloshim Olam Amen, so then that's an essential denial. Unless he maintains, no, I accept the principle, but the halachic corollary I'm not concerned with. Then he's a kofer, then he denies the metaphysical reality of the halachic system. You see? So therefore, in regard to these things, he's caught. He has to be denying one or the other. Therefore, he's going to lose his chelik in Olam Haba. Yes. The question is, what about Shabbos? Shabbos is Zodiyah Das, B'yah Shemayim V'aretz. There's no question about it. But they exactly. I would say that that in Chol HaMoed means even Chol HaMoed. That's what they say. It means Yontif and Shabbos certainly. As a matter of fact, the Rabbeinu Yonah mentions Yontif. He says because Yontif's like Shabbos, the man wouldn't think of being the Vazi Yontif itself. So that certainly is included. So it means even Chol HaShemoed. But all Kedushas Hayom, anytime it's Kedushas Hayom, same thing.
What about a Mumalahakas?
He's not talking about a Mumalahakas. The Chiddush of this memory, what is this memory doing in Pirkei Avos? What's going on in Pirkei Avos? Let's understand. What's going on in Pirkei Avos? The purpose of the memory is, because Pirkei Avos is ethics. It's ethics. So the purpose of the memory is to show different types of ethical perfections that people devious ethical perfections, people consider them ethical perfections and they're not. And the Pirkei Avos points out each emotion. You see, each different type. Over here in this memory, the Pirkei Avos is really pointing its finger against what people would call a so-called philosopher. Not what the Ram would call philosopher, but the so-called philosopher. A philosopher, he understands the ideas of perfection, he's involved in thought, and he helps people, he's a good person, you see. But there's only one thing. The embodiment of the ideas in the halachic system he doesn't recognize. And he doesn't treat those halachic phenomena with the importance that the ideas that they represent dictate. Such an individual is Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba, even though he's a philosopher. That's the statement. That's what the statement means. You see, what is Mechalas HaKachim? So what? He says, look, a piece of meat, what's the difference? Tegel, not Tegel, then Tomei, Tar, what? Yeah, it doesn't matter. Main thing is the idea of perfection. The person who does that, Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba. Means he denies the physical representation of the concept in the halacha. The metaphysical reality of halacha he denies. Such a person is, no matter how perfected he is, why? Because Yadus is not just a system of philosophical perfection. It's a recognition of a metaphysical reality. God is the ultimate metaphysical reality, and everything else stems from Him. When He creates a mitzvah, He created a mitzvah. So if you don't treat it with what it represents, so then you're denying God. I mean, it's a denial of God.
What?
So Korach had a similar approach, yeah. With a tzitzis, a bit, right. Korach's argument. That's right. What does Malbim Nechaver Barabim? Malbim Nechaver Barabim means, Malbim Nechaver Barabim means, he denies that Adam, man, is a reflection of his creator. That Adam, that's one of the Yesod Yadas. That Adam reflects the creator. Because you see that because Adam has the Tzelem Alekim. You see, that's why the halacha is that meis mitzvah. We just took it up. The halacha meis mitzvah is doch everything, even Megillah. Why? Ki kilas olakim toli. Not leave a person. Kilas olakim. Pasuk says kilas olakim toli. Why? Because Adam reflects the Adam is a metaphysical creature. Reflects the Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So if you deny that insofar, you can believe whatever you want. You can be a great philosopher. But if you do not express it with regard to this particular Adam, so then it's Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba. Even though philosophically he accepts the idea of Tzelem Elokim, but it means he doesn't recognize that particular entity that actually reflects the Chochmas Hashem, so then he's so then it's Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba. It's the particular. This is a very important, mission. Yeah. This particular individual, so it's one person out of millions. What difference does it make? I recognize the idea. Now, with regard to this person, he doesn't act accordingly. He doesn't recognize the metaphysical reality. That's like halachic reality. That's why that's the only case that's here. That's not a halachic case. Yes, yes. The way it is. And it could be extremely happy. There is, Yadis posits that there is such a human phenomenon. If I say Yadis posits anything, that's the underlying position of Yadis. Of course, Yadis also recognizes that to reach that level is not easy. But Yadis would be against the person that statement that says, if it wasn't for my sense of humor, I wouldn't have made it through life, which implies that the sense of humor is the ultimate. Is the ultimate way to achieve happiness. It's not the ultimate way to achieve happiness because in it is fraught. It's fraught with inherent conflict. Because humor, on the one hand, the person really knows down deep that it's only a momentary thing and that what he's saying is not true. And he can't close off completely the part of him that recognizes that. So one part has to be dissatisfied. Whereas if a person can face reality and really be happy with reality the way it is, there's no need to close off any part of reality, and if his emotions are in line with that, he can enjoy reality, he certainly is better off. I mean, according to the other people, the only thing is the other people don't think such a thing is possible. Yadis maintains that such a thing is possible. That's why, and that really is the difference between the two positions. The common position in the world is that such a phenomenon is impossible. A person can never achieve such a level where he is totally in line with reality, And he's going to be very happy, extremely happy with it. They maintain that's impossible because they really think that reality has to be painful. So therefore, their advice is to always have a sense of humor. Yadis maintains, no, that's not true. Not that Yadis doesn't want a person to be happy, but Yadis posits that there is a deeper happiness that a person can achieve in which he can, in that state, he can face reality. So then the question is, that being the case, so the question is, what should a person do? So what Chazal insisted upon was that a person should not try to escape reality to a very great degree. Because if he does, then he will never be able to achieve that state. He's just going to go back into his emotions. However, Yadis also recognizes that a person in climbing towards that state must have some way of coping with difficult reality at the time while he's in that process of transition. So therefore, Chazal don't totally tell a person not to joke around. But Chazal insists that at certain times it's very harmful. If a person has a serious time, like you mentioned, that then it's very harmful. What is a serious time? And when is a serious time? That's the question. And the answer is, I mean, this, if you don't have a formula, it's a very subjective thing. One person can say, well, this person always makes jokes, this person sometimes makes jokes, and each person will choose the amount of jokes that satisfies his emotions. That's the right amount, you see. That's not a formula. That's not a formula. What Chazal really have a formula, because the formula is based on a philosophical structure. The philosophical structure has a goal. The goal is really to reach a state where a person is happy with reality, totally the way it is, and can face even death itself. That's the highest level, and that is the aim and objective of the person. So therefore, anything which deflects him from his aim is going to be harmful. That's why Chazal said, "Latzon achas docha me'atochachas." When if a person is giving tochacha, the person is giving musa, divrei musa, and he's improving people. Somebody can make a joke, and it'll remove the entire the whole impact of the tochacha. Why? Because a joke switches a person to a different framework, and it twists the whole reality, and therefore the effect is lost. At that time, that's a very harmful thing, because it prevents the person, as much as he's involved in the enjoyment, the person can be very happy at the moment, tremendous happiness. But I would call it rather pleasure. But nevertheless, he's forfeiting, with that momentary pleasure, he's forfeiting the possibility of attaining the true pleasure, you see. So therefore, Chazal say with regard to death also, a person should not make jokes in that area. Because for a person to deny the fact that he is actually going to die, which is the reality, is bad. Because if he doesn't recognize that reality, so then he has to have a distorted view of life, and he will escape facing, ultimately, the nature of his existence, and if he doesn't really have any knowledge about the nature of his existence, he cannot have any knowledge as to how exactly he should live his life. In order to live your life properly, you have to know the nature of your existence. And an essential feature of the nature of a person's existence is that it's only transitory. That's an essential part of his nature. If he doesn't recognize that part of his nature, he's missing something which is so essential that his whole way of coping with life has to be false. If it's false, it's not in reality, and it can never really attain any true level. So that's why Chazal say in that area it's not good. But Chazal do not say that a person should never make a joke. That's not what Chazal said. Chazal say only a joke is harmful insofar as it removes a person from progress, prevents him from making progress. So that's why Chazal say sichas yiladim, it means that this becomes a part of his life, where he thinks about his life and he finds happiness. When he gets up in the morning, so to speak, he thinks about he's going to have a great day today. What is he going to do? He thinks about the sichas yiladim. That's the enjoyment. So therefore, this becomes an essential part of his day. If this becomes an essential part of his day, so much energy will be attracted to that area that he will never be able to make any progress in terms of seeing reality and living according to reality and progressing in the true direction, which is to be able to accept reality totally. That is what that's the direction of Chazal. Well, in the world, of course, you don't have such a thing, because the world does not maintain that there is such a phenomena that a person can be truly happy in reality. They deny that premise. If you deny that premise, then their conclusion follows, which is that a person should, why not be joking around as much as you could? It's very good. What's wrong with it? Since denial of reality is our only salvation, so that's what we should do. We should try to deny reality as much as we can. That's it. You see, if Yadis would maintain that the good is for man not to know when he's going to die, God would never have given Moshe Rabbeinu the foreknowledge. On the contrary, the Tzaddik knows. Tzaddik is a man of reality. He knew when he was going to die, and he prepared himself for death. You see also, by Yaakov Avinu, all of them, that they knew when they were going to die. Even David HaMelech too, when he called in Shlomo, he knew he was going to die. If you look through those psukim, you'll see a man that totally faces reality. Individually, he told them exactly what to do and how to take care of the malucha and what he did wrong to correct. That is the ultimate person. Not a person that just dies in sleep, doesn't know what happened. People mistakenly refer to that as the death of a tzaddik. That's not the death of a tzaddik. Just because their fear of death causes them to confuse the issue as to what exactly is the death of a tzaddik. Exactly. Yeah. You hit it on the head. You hit it on the head. Okay. I'll tell you. No, exactly. You're exactly right. The answer is, I mean, it's basically the answer is what we said it before, but just to spell it out a little more, I'll quote your Chazal. The Gemara says, the Chazal is the, what the Rambam mentions. The Rambam says, Ki avichal shi rabbonon mi girsayu, avi amri milsed abdichasa. Gemara says, when Chazal got tired from learning, so they'd make a joke. That's what the Gemara says.
See.
Yeah, also Milsud of Dichsa Karam Alimud. Right, that's right. But you see, what does it mean? What it means is exactly the way you explained it. That it depends what is the end and what is the means. If the joke is the end, that's really the purpose. So then, it's Sichas Yiladim. But if the joke is the means, I tell the Chazal aren't saying that a person in progressing towards the ultimate state certainly has to use means to help him to get there. Even Chazal went a very high level, but still they see they joked around. They said it was before the limud or when they got tired. What? But that's the difference. If the getting together is a getting together essentially for joking, then it's a chasara. If the getting together is a getting together for transferring ideas, for learning and thinking, and there's joking also, then it's not a bad thing. On the contrary, see, Chazal recommended. I mean, like you said before, I mean, a person can't just to be sad and face reality all the time is not a tachlis. He has to have an outlet. But the question is, what's the means and what is the end? That's the difference. The reason why I said is because when a person becomes older, so you see. A younger person is better at Latsanis for the simple reason that reality really hasn't had such an impact on his life yet. A person is older, He knows he is getting very serious already. He's not so well. He has. He knows he doesn't have much longer to live. The emotion from the tzanis is not so great.
Yeah,
that's a good point. You're definitely right. There's no question about it. The joke of Yiladim, jokes of Yiladim are different. They're a more sophisticated joke. It's a more. It's because it's not. It's not as it's not as expressive of the emotion. It's already there's been a force that pushes it down. It's not really the raw emotion to that degree. Yes. Why does the Gemara say Milson gets a kodem alimud? Because it's hard to get into learning. To get into learning is difficult. Once a person's in learning already, it's not so difficult. You're involved with the problems. You're involved with the thoughts. So then it goes in the mailer. But to sit down and to get into learning, that's a difficult thing. That's a time when it's hard to make that transition. That's why that Milson B'Yichsa Kodem Alimut. Also, like the Rambam says, Kavachal Shirabon American Gesar. By the way, nobody knows where the Rambam got that from. Can't find the Gemara like that. But anyways, it is a memory that the Rambam calls. Chal Shirabon American Gesar means they were exhausted. When Chazal learned, they got very tired. Because they really put all their energies into it. So they became exhausted from the learning. And learning can be exhausting if a person learns intensely. So then they would joke around to bring back their an emotional state, which is better for learning. That's what the Chazal aren't saying a person shouldn't joke around. The last one is Yeshivas Bate Knesayos Shel Amei Haaretz. What is that? It means, so what is that? How is that different than Sichas Yiladim? How is that
different?
Yeah. That is a different thing. Because what they do there is they take things, what they do in that situation, see, that's another way of denying reality. That's the final way. Final way is like this. To take things that are nonsense is to raise them to the level of importance. So this way you satisfy both emotions. Of course, you take something which is utter nonsense, like these clubs and these different things. So they take things that are totally nonsensical and they make them important things, elevate them to the level of importance. So the person feels very comfortable in engaging in this type of nonsense because it's not nonsense. This is important things. So that's the last level. Okay? Motzina Sodom and Olam. All right? Rabbeinu Yonah says, I'm just reading the Rabbeinu Yonah here. Hey, Motzina Sodom and Olam. Kiyomanev, why was man created? Ach lasav betorah. Zehi orech yomim ushnos chayim. That is the Aruch Yomim. And that's what gives him life. Zim lo keichu dvarim keila, v'lam alo chayim. Why does he need life? V'roi l'tar d'min olam. It's befitting that we should remove him. He should be removed from the world. Ki hevel hu v'hevel yomav. V'acha shechoya kama shonim v'nesasek b'isko v'lo hol, hol shebit l'tar al me yosifu lo yomim. So he learns differently. He learns like this. He learns that actually it could result in the person's demise. The person can die from this. Why? Because since the person, in other words, what he's saying is like this. He's saying that actually, philosophically, his existence is worthless. Because since the purpose of his existence is really to gain knowledge, and he has forfeited his purpose in existence, so therefore, he cannot have any hashgacha to continue his life. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. An interesting thing. He says a person who lives that kind of a life, since he's forfeited the purpose of his existence, so therefore, as philosophers say, his existence is equal to his non-existence, because things only exist by God's will because of the purpose that they have. And since he's forfeited his purpose, so therefore there is no reason to continue giving him life. God will not continue to give him life. Which means to say that he cannot be in any way under the Ashgacha that his life should be preserved. That's what he says. What? Yeah, he says, Mashallah, gave him the kesef. Kesef is a means to gain what he wants. So God gave him life, and now he threw it in the ocean, threw it away. So therefore, there's no reason to give him any more. So even if he be, Rabbeinu Yonah means is that even if he be mispalel, his tefillah wouldn't help. He's completely out of the realm of the Ashgacha, so far as the continuance of his life. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Philosophically, Rabbeinu Yonah takes it into the metaphysical. That's how he learns Motzinus Adam and Olam. Literally, Motzinus Adam and Olam means literally that he has no, there's no Ashgach in relationship to the continuance of his existence. Yes, we're fine to all of them, but what he's saying is, I want to say, but what you're mentioning is an important point. You see, The point is like this. What about a person? You have to distinguish again between the world's philosophy of what life is and between what Yadus maintains life is. See, to the world, the philosophy of reality means a person's in business, he can sustain himself. He makes money, he has a family, he has a house, he has a car. That's reality. What Yadus maintains is that is not reality. The reality is where a person's intellect is in line with a different world of ideas. That is the true reality for man. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says, that his whole purpose in life is to be in line with an ultimate reality, not just the reality of what people think. So you have to understand this membrane, the framework of what true reality is, not the way most people consider reality. A person will not joke around enough so that he will be able to make a living. That doesn't mean he's in line with reality. In line with reality means he's in line with the world of ideas. That's the true reality, the reality of the soul. The soul perceives what the true reality is. Well, that's based upon the philosophy of the others.
Let's say the 3986.
Doesn't say anywhere that Moshe received the commandment to do that. When it says in the pasuk there, you'll know that the things that I have done, kilomi libi, it's not from, it wasn't my own, something that I made up myself. So Chazal say it's not referring to this action. It's referring to the kahuna. Never received. Doesn't say anywhere that he received an order to actually do that. And then it says that if, however, the earth in fact does not swallow up the people, so then he says you will know that God didn't send me. He means he didn't send me to give the Torah or anything. And I myself will deny the Torah. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. I myself will deny the Torah. So we explain what exactly does that mean? So we said that what it means is that the Navi himself, sometimes the Navi receives a word of God, some event will occur, like in the case of Mitzrayim, in the case of Egypt. But sometimes there's no need for a Trilah. But sometimes the Navi acts in accordance with his own knowledge. He has knowledge in the area of Hashgacha, and therefore he acts according to his own knowledge. So therefore what he was saying was that according to my knowledge and the knowledge of the Hashgacha, this is what must take place. And he says, and if it doesn't take place, then I myself will have to deny God. I myself will be a kofa. That's what Chazal say. I myself will deny God. It doesn't mean I myself will deny God. It means that the Navi himself, people think the Navi has a different kind of a life, that the average person has to go according, unfortunately, has to go according to his knowledge. But the Navi, he has the word of God directly. He doesn't have any of these insecurities, you see. He doesn't have the insecurities that we have. So you see that's not true. That's not so. The Navi has to base himself on Das in the same manner as we do. He has to base himself on knowledge just like we do. And therefore, his whole emuna, being based on knowledge, is capable of being destroyed if he has a fine, if there's a total contradiction in his knowledge. It's impossible. So what Moshe Rabbeinu said and what Eliyahu Navi said was the exact same thing. They said that according to my knowledge, this is what must occur. And if it doesn't occur, then I have to deny God myself because my knowledge is faulty. If my knowledge is failing, then there's no way. I have no way to understand God, in which case I must assume that I'm crazy. I simply have no knowledge of God. So what could I base my belief on? Nothing, you see. So the Navi, that's what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu did it and Eliyahu Navi did it. They put their whole knowledge, their whole emunah, they was at stake in this event. But they based it on the fact that their knowledge of the Hashgacha was so exact that this must occur. You see, now why did the Navi, why did Moshe Rabbeinu say that to the people, though? You see, and why did Eliyahu Navi make it known to the people through his tefillah that this is what it is? By Eliyahu HaNavi, the reason is obvious. It's tied in with what we said before, that he said to them, Ad Masai Atem Poskum Al Shtei Asi'ipim. He said, how long are you going to straddle both branches, so to speak? What does it mean? It means that really they had a belief in God, but they required support from the physical. That was the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, what he said to them was that he said to them, this is kind of, that's why he made, that's why he ridiculed the Baal. He said, maybe he's busy now. What he meant was that obviously that he wanted to show them that behind their avodah zarah is a desire to have the security of a person. It's a projection of an image of a person, because they want that security. You see. And then what he told them was that you see that I myself base my whole everything that I my whole emunah, even I as a Navi, and my whole emunah is based upon the is based upon knowledge. So he was demonstrating to them that they should base their whole way of life upon knowledge of God, and don't think that the Navi is any different. The Navi also, and that's why he said, "This is my knowledge tells me that this is what God, what is going to occur," and that's what he meant in the pasuk where he said that. Where he prayed to God and he said that Hayom Yivada, today it will be known Ki Atol can be Israel, you are the God in Israel, Va'ani Avdecha, I am your servant, with Varcho Asisias called Varmailan, with your word I did all these things. What it means is that it will be known that there is such an individual who has this type of a knowledge. This itself is one of the Yesodei Hadas. What is one of the Yesodei Hadas is that God is misnabel of Nei Adam. That God gives prophecy to an individual who's on the level that he can understand God's Hashgacha. So actually what he was doing was he was placing the whole institution of this type of a knowledge on the line. And saying this will demonstrate what the that there is such a person, that there is such an individual who has such knowledge, and therefore the people will see that it is not correct for people to believe in God based upon just a mystical power without knowledge. Isn't correct, then I myself must deny the whole system of Torah. And Moshe Ben said the same thing. Ki lo Hashem shlachani. If it doesn't occur, if the earth doesn't swallow the people up, then I myself will have to say that I wasn't sent by God, and I didn't receive the Torah, and nothing ever occurred. Why would he have to say that? Because it's the same knowledge with which he recognizes the receiving of the Torah, the same knowledge will be deficient, which means that he simply has no way to base himself upon base his beliefs. There's nothing to base his beliefs on. So you see, the Navi really is no different. That's what Eliyahu wanted to show the people. Wanted to show the people that Atam Poschem Al Shtei Hasipim, that you are afraid to rely upon knowledge. I am relying on knowledge, and I myself will be a kofer if my knowledge is faulty, because then I have nothing to go on. But it was showing them by the example of the Navi, that the only way that a person can base is a person shouldn't look for the security of a person, of an individual in disguise. That's what Avodah Zarah is. Avodah Zarah is looking for the security of a person in disguise, and a person should not do that. A person has to be on a level where his security is from the abstract God, the God that cannot be defined, and the God that you cannot give any attributes to, and the God who we only know by virtue of his actions and by virtue of his chachma. But there is no personal, there is no personality involved. There is no personality involved. Avodah Zarah is an attempt to create a personality in God in order to give an individual security. And that's what Eliyahu Nevi was saying, that his security is based only on one thing, on das, on knowledge. Yes. I'm not saying that a Navi does not receive a message from God within relationship to a particular event. That's not so. I mean, that could very well be. That is, actually. That's something like for instance, the Nisim and Mitzrayim, where God told Moshe. Moshe had no way of knowing. You see, he didn't know, because he said, Lomarias Lomazeh. And God said, no, Atasira. So sometimes a Navi receives a Nevuah communication from God. That's one type of a situation. But in another realm, the Navi is just like is just like another individual and works according to his knowledge. You see, the halacha is that a navi, the what is an iser, the greatest iser in nevuah, kovesh nevuaso, means when a navi refuses to tell his nevuah. Well, how could he? I mean, we can't even imagine such a thing. What do you mean? Would you have a halacha for a navi? Navi's not going to be tell his nevuah. I mean, you figure the Navi, he's free from it. He's not going to, God told him, he's definitely going to run and tell right away. Wouldn't you do that? You see? It's because we have an infantile idea of a Navi. A Navi is an individual who, his realm of knowledge is different. But in his realm of knowledge, it's the same thing. It's just a higher realm. But he's still working in the area of knowledge, just like every other individual. That's why Yonah decided that he didn't want to tell his Nevuah. Yana decided that he decided against it. As a matter of fact, I saw the Rabbah says that he didn't tell. He wasn't told. The Radak says it also. I checked it over afterwards because I said this has to be from the Pesukim. I said it's a shot, but I like to check them in Farshim. Farshim Rabbah says the same thing. He says that he wasn't told about this. So you see, they agree. The Radak says also. So you see, they agree that it was done simply by his own through his own knowledge of God's Hashgacha.
He gave you a proof.
Yeah, that question, the question of how do you know who the Navi is before, with it, if you see an event like Eliyahu, another Baruch Kamel, okay, so, you know, it's not too hard to be convinced. But without that, how do you know who the Navi is? The answer is the Rambam explains. The Rambam says that you really don't know who the Navi is. You don't know whether his Navi is who he is. He says, as a matter of fact, the Rambam says it openly, and I believe it's Perek Ches in Yesodei HaTorah. He says that the Pasuk says, Elof Tishma'un, that you should listen to the Navi. He says, and that means if the Navi fulfills the requirements of the Sanhedrin, they test the Navi. And he has to have certain requirements. Not anybody can just come up with tests. I mean, he has certain requirements. It has to be a Talmud Chacham, and he has to have the knowledge. And a man of that, on that level, there's a certain test that the Sanhedrin gives him. And after that test, we accept him. But we accept him, we don't really know that what he said, that he really is a Navi. That we don't know. But it's a halacha. Elof Tishma'on. You listen to him. Just like the Rambam says, just like you're paskin the din according to two Edom, do you really know that these two Edom are telling the truth? No, you don't. But the halacha is, you must listen, you must follow the Navi, because he has fulfilled the halachic requirements. But you don't really know whether in fact he is a Navi or not. We don't really know, you see. But it doesn't matter, because the halacha is if he fulfills these requirements, you must follow what he says. Provided what he says, there's certain things he can't say anything. There's certain restrictions. A Navi can't say can't take away a mitzvah from the Torah, or can't do the only thing he can do is he can temporarily abrogate a mitzvah, suspend a mitzvah, or he could add a mitzvah temporarily. But if he does anything which is against the framework or the Yesodei Hadas, even if he passed all the tests, we discard him. You see. But if he's within the framework of the Torah, halacha is you must listen to what he says. It's Elof Sishmon. The Rambam says we do not know. The only Navi that we know is Moshe Rabbeinu. After Moshe Rabbeinu, we do not know any Navim. We follow them, provided they're in line with the system. But we do not know actually whether they actually had Nevuah. That is not, we don't know, and it's not our business to know, and we can't know. See? Now that we don't have Navim Bizman Hazeh, so the only thing a person can do is take the advice of Eliyahu HaNavi. Well, what's the advice of Eliyahu HaNavi? It means that a person should try to isolate within himself that part of his nature which is das, which is in line with knowledge, which is in line with Chachmas Hashem, the part of his nature that he uses in understanding Torah. And if he sees, in fact, that something that part of his nature dictates that this is what he should do, or that this is the way he should understand something, he must follow that part of his nature. That is the obligation of every Jew. But of course, you understand, that's why the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is so important. Because if a person doesn't study Torah, and he doesn't develop that part of his nature, the knowledgeable part, if he can't learn a Tosfos, if he can't understand the Rambam, if he doesn't have that part in his makeup, what is he going to follow? I mean, he has very little to follow. That's why the mitzvah of Talmud Torah assumes very great importance in Yadas. I mean, as you know, the whole essence of everything is Talmud Torah. Why is Talmud Torah so important? Because you simply have nothing to go by if you don't increase your knowledge. If that part of your nature, which understands, which is able to comprehend, is not developed, if you can't really learn through a sugya properly, you don't know, you don't have. What do you have? What are you going to follow? You're supposed to follow that part of your nature, but that part of your nature isn't working. It's not functioning. It's not developed. So what do you have? You have very little ability. You see? That's why Talmud Torah really is the most important mitzvah, because when you develop that part of your nature, then you have to follow that part of your nature in whatever it says. That is, in whatever it tells you to do. You must be able to be introspective and to discern within yourself conclusions that come from that part of your nature and conclusions that come from the other parts of your nature. And you must be able to know which is which and be able to decide and to follow that part which is in line with Chachma. That is really the essence of the whole Bechira. That's the picture of the whole Bechira. And that's what that's right. In our day, I mean, the Nevi'im were concluded at a certain point. Why they were concluded at a certain point, why there was a conclusion to the Nevi'im at a certain point, basically the reason is, it would seem, that the Nevi'im are one corpus. They take, it's one closed entity. Every idea was already stated by the Nevi'im. And there was no need to have them restated again and again in every generation. So therefore, the Nevi'im is one entity. It complements Torah. All the ideas of Torah were extended, so to speak, and expressed and brought out more to the people, so that they could understand it more. And there's nothing new in the Nevi'im, but the certain ideas were extended, expanded upon. So therefore, once there was a conclusion to the Tkufas HaNevi'im, it means that every Nevuah is written down already. If you study the Nevi'im, you really have the essence of all the important ideas of a Nevuah. There is nothing more. You see. So a person has to avail himself of the written Nevi'im Bezman Hazeh. The Nevi'im in Torah Shebikzav. That's what he has to do. That's what a person should do, really. We have Nevi'im. Where are Nevi'im? We don't have them physically, but we have Nevi'im in Sifrei Nevi'im. See, that's what we have. And really, we should be studying the Sifrei Nevi'im and studying the ideas of the Nevi'im. You see, the purpose of Nevi'im is not for history, to tell you how the Nevi'im threatened the people and then certain things occurred. The purpose of that wouldn't have to be written down for generations. The purpose of the Nevi'im is to learn from the criticisms, to apply it to our times. I mean, those criticisms are very, very real and very applicable today. Not too much difference, really. If you have an understanding, an in-depth understanding of the human personality, you'll see that there's no difference, really, between the people then and the people today. And the same imperfections they had then, they have today. You have to understand that there's only a certain amount that the Ashgacha can do for a person. Beyond that, he must make use of his own bechira and avail himself of what he has, what he can. If he does not do that, there's very little even a navi can do. I mean, short of having a miraculous occurrence that will make everybody frightened. I mean, which will only be a momentary effect. I mean, that's not the derech haTorah. That's not the derech Hashem. That's not the way God works. God only wants a person to move to the good out of recognition, not out of because he's frightened. I mean, there's no benefit in that. So in our generation, if people don't really avail themselves of what they can of the Nevi'im, so a real Navi really wouldn't add much to the picture. Wouldn't add much to the picture. Because they could, they don't think they could, but they would discard him too, just like people did in those days. It wouldn't be any difference. And if they wouldn't, if they'd be frightened, then there wouldn't be any benefit. It's the only benefit for man is to turn to the ideas. The ideas are there. They're in Torah Shabbat Shabbat, they were given. And if you don't turn to them, you don't care, then there's no benefit in having a personal Navi. Why in those days it was necessary, you have to understand that. I mean, that's God's Chachmah. At that time, it was necessary, and the ideas weren't yet expanded upon. But once they were concluded, then there's nothing more.
Yeah.
See, there are different levels of knowledge. Sometimes a person knows that according to his knowledge, something is necessary. Sometimes a person knows according to his knowledge, something is possible. Or a person can know according to his knowledge that something is probable. What Eliyahu HaNavi said and what Moshe Rabbeinu said was not that it's probable or possible, but it's necessary. So a person maintains that something is necessary according to his knowledge, then if he's wrong, then his whole knowledge is... It undermines everything. After Sinai, there is no certainty outside of the framework of Sinai. All certainty stems from Sinai. Sinai says, Elof Sishmon. So that's why you have to. That's why we accept it. But there's no individual certainty.
That's why
we look at that type of situation like Moshe Rabbeinu as one incident type of thing. So why should that be cause him to be a kofer? But it's not. We don't understand that. He understood it from a different spectrum altogether.
Well,
it's part of the whole.
The God's existence.
Somebody asked me another question. They asked me a question. Why did he have to be mispowel? If according to his knowledge that he knew that the event will occur, so why did he have to say Aneini Hashem Aneini? You see. So this I would say as follows. I say that there's. It's interesting, but Moshe Rabbeinu said also in this week's in Pekudei it says that Moshe Rabbeinu said he was mispowel. And he said, after they finished the Mishkan, Yehi Ratzon Shetishra Shechina B'maisa Yadecha. So they have the same question. The question is, it says, Vasali Mikdash Shechanti B'sacham. So God told them beforehand that if they make the Mikdash, then my Shechina will rest among them. It means there will be some expression of Hashgachas Hashem in the Mikdash. So why did he have to be Mispalo? You see? Apparently, there's two things in tefillah. There's two concepts of tefillah. One concept of tefillah is where a person is in need of something and he approaches God. That's one idea of tefillah. But there's a deeper idea of tefillah. See, tefillah is also a state of mind. Tefillah is a state of mind. It means like this, that tefillah is a recognition, like Rabbeinu Yonah says, why is tefillah called avodah? Why is it called avodah Hashem? You're really not serving God, on the contrary, you're demanding from God that he should serve you. So why is it called avodah? So he says, no, because in asking God, what you are recognizing is the fact that you are a dependent existence. You're dependent upon him. You're dependent upon him for everything. That's why it's called avodah. So what I want to say is like this, that there's a deeper concept of tefillah than just approaching God and asking him. But tefillah is a natural state for a human being when he comes to the total recognition of his dependency. It's a natural state. The moment he recognizes his dependency upon God, the process of tefillah ensues. He doesn't have to tell himself to be mispalel. It's a natural phenomenon based upon human nature. The human nature will approach God if a person will just think to himself, yes, I'm dependent upon God, you see, and he's not mispalel. It means a certain part of his nature is not going along. Is not going along with the idea. Mm-hmm. If his entire nature goes along with the idea, tefillah is a natural action on the part of man. And the reason, and Eliyahu HaNavi's tefillah was the reason why Eliyahu was mispalel was because there is no ashgacha. Unless man is in a total state of recognition of his true position in the universe with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see? If he doesn't have that recognition, then there is no Hashgacha. Then it wouldn't be a Kasha. You couldn't say that I would be a Kofer. Because then there's no way for the Hashgacha to relate to man. The Hashgacha only relates to man when he realizes his true attitude, when he has the proper posture, which reflects his true state and his dependence upon God. So therefore, tefillah emanates when a person is in a state of need, and he has and he desires something, and he recognizes totally his dependence upon God and his true position in the universe. Tefillah, he can't stop himself from being mispalel. He is a mispalel. See? It really would explain also why the word is mispalel. See? Mispalel. Mispalel is reflexive. Pilel is, lefalel is the regular form of the verb. But a mispalel is reflexive. He is a mispalel. What does it mean he's a mispalel? Mispalel means that his whole nature is automatically involved in tefillah. It's not something that he has to coerce himself to do. It's a natural result.
What?
A real mispalel is where it emerges naturally from a person's nature. See?
I'm saying, I
think
it's
written. See, the Rambam explains in the beginning of the Yad, you can't separate the two. Recognizing God's, first of all, if he doesn't recognize God's greatness, I mean, who is he being mispalel to? What is he being? He has no relationship to God, so that's the first thing. And the recognition of God's awesomeness is a natural result of anyone who honestly understands Chachmas Hashem. I mean, anyone who understands Chachmas Hashem, it's a natural result. What's the whole Tillim? What is the Tillim all about? Why? What's the whole all the Sefer Tillim? As a matter of fact, that's what David HaMelech was asked God. He says that his Tillim should be accepted as Torah. You see? His Tillim should be accepted as Torah. What does it mean? I want to explain this. When we learn Tillim, it's really Torah. If we study Tillim, it's Torah. So wasn't it Torah for him? Why was he asking God that Tillim should be accepted as Torah? It is Torah. If you study Tillim, you're not studying Torah. It's the Torah Shemitzah. So what's the answer? The answer is that for us, it's Limud Torah, because we learned something from the ideas of Tillim. For David HaMelech it wasn't, because David HaMelech, when he said it, he knew the ideas already. It was just a natural reaction that he had to. He could not keep himself away from being Mesaper Shvacha Shel Makom. It was impossible for him not to do it. So it wasn't new in terms of the ideas per se. It wasn't a Limud process for him. It was an expression of his inner nature, which he had to express the ideas. He felt he just has to express these ideas. It was a natural response. Natural response. So he asked God that it should be accepted as Torah, because
it wasn't thought out.
No, it was thought out. But the thoughts he had already before, but giving expression to the thoughts was a natural reaction. He couldn't refrain from being Mesaper Shvacha Shel Makom. So there's a question, is that equivalent to Talmud Torah? Maybe I should engage in learning new ideas. You see? So he decided that for him, in his state at that time or whatever, this would be the best thing for him to do. I mean, a person has to be chacham, has to know what is wherein his perfection lies and what to do for his perfection at certain times. And that's what he did, David HaMelech. For us it's limud, because we are on his level insofar as those ideas are concerned. So for us, every pasuk in Tillim is a pasuk in limud. We need to understand the ideas that he had. But for him it wasn't Torah Shemitzah at that point, and it wasn't, of course, once it becomes Torah Shemitzah, and if you don't understand it, it's separate halacha. But for us, the reason why Tillim is limud is because we don't understand those ideas. We have to learn the ideas. But for him, he knew the ideas already. It was just an involvement in the expression of the greatness of God. And that's why that was an automatic process. It was a process that he couldn't refrain from doing. You see, and the same thing is with tefillah. A person is the true idea. As a matter of fact, I one time gave a shiur in which it was a shvuah shiur, in which I demonstrated halachically that there's a concept of a gavra hamispalel, that it's not just an act of tefillah, but tefillah involves the gavra, involves the person, personality, and this is basically philosophically what it is. You see, that's the real level of a tefillah. That's why you say the Ananis. When you mispal, you say Anani Hashem, Anani, Anenu Kamo Shanisol Eliyahu Navi Bar Kamo Kamo Shanisol. Why do we give these examples? because those are examples of true tefillah. Those are examples of individuals that were on the level where the tefillah was a natural reaction to a recognition of their place insofar as the whole system of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the universe is concerned. It was a natural reaction. It was a real tefillah. They were really mispalim. So when we're mispalel, Yadis always tries to raise a person to the highest level through demonstrating, through associating him to the true ideas. So we say, Aneinu Hashem Aneinu Hashem Yisrael Ol Yonah V'Har Karmel. That tefillah, we should reflect upon the nature of that tefillah. We should be on the level that we should partake of that type of tefillah. That's why I mentioned all the people that were mispalel, because each one of them represents a particular expression of tefillah on the highest level. But that's why Eliyahu HaNavi had to be mispalel. That's why I said it had to say Aneinu Hashem Aneinu. It's a different concept than tefillah. Different concept than tefillah. It's like saying, I would say results in his recognition of his place results in one of two things, either in shevach or in tefillah, depending on if he has a need. That's the concept of tefillah. There are contradictory gemaras. There's a gemara that says the gemara in Shabbos. So gemara Shabbos says that a person he says the gemara Shabbos of Yirmiyahu where the gemara says that Rav Asar of Amnunity was Marach in his tefillah. So he said he's Menichim Chayol and Lostim Chayashah. Why is that Chayashah? That's a different kind of tefillah. That's a tefillah where a person is, it's not like, that's a tefillah where a person wants to satisfy his needs. So therefore he says, what are you wasting? Why are you mispalel? Because you want to satisfy your needs, but in doing that you're leaving the Chayolam. So you have a little less. So what? You see. So there he says that he should not be mispalel so long, because in being mispalel so long he'll gain something through tefillah, gain a specific object that he desires. But so what if he doesn't have it? He's, in the meantime, he's wasting time. It could be osik in chayolam. You see. So the Gemara says no, but Rav Amnunah held differently. He held zman tefillah l'chud and zman Torah l'chud. See, Rashi says chayolam Torah. Tefillah tzara chayeshiyahi l'rfuah l'shalom l'mzaynis. There's some different things. Yeah, that's what Rav Amnunah held. And in terms of his total perfection, that it must have, there's a time for, in terms of his perfection, he set aside two times in his day. One time was for tefillah, and one time was for Torah, and both led to perfection. So that's a Rav Amnunah's, but you see, the important thing is, each one of the chazal had to evaluate his own nature and know when and where and what to do. There's no simple formula. So then the Gemara says, that Rav Yirmiyahu Avi Yosef coming to Rav Zera. Rav Yirmiyahu was sitting in front of Rav Zera. Have Aske B'Shmaitza. They were learning. So Nogal Etzluyi. So Rav Zera was postponed. He wasn't davening, and it was getting late. So Vava Kamasarev Rav Yirmiyahu. So Rav Yirmiyahu didn't want to wait because he got up and he started davening. So Kori Ole Rav Zera, so Zera quoted a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Meisir ozno mishmoa Torah." A person that turns his ear away from learning, from hearing Torah, gam tefilasa toeva. So his tefillah is an abomination. By the way, this also shows you there's a concept of a gavra mispalel. There's a concept of a gavra mispalel. Personnel, because over here was exactly. That's why I told him that tefillah toeva. Your tefillah is worthless. You're not a person who does something like that. That action nullifies the whole value of your tefillah. A person who has done such an action stops learning, and that's how he enters tefillah. That tefillah is worthless.
Could it be because he was?
What is it? There is a certain situation when a person is involved in Torah on such a level. You see. On such a level that to turn away from it, then even though he has mitzvah tefillah, would be a violation of osek b'mitzvahs patur min ha-mitzvah. You can't say efshel l'kayem shneim in that situation. That's what it would be equivalent to Torah Sa'om Nasa. Terasum naso, terasum naso is pot. Person is involved in Torah all the time. Doesn't have to be a spal. But there's two kinds of a terasum naso. There's a terasum naso where a person is involved day and night in learning, and he doesn't have to daven. He doesn't have to daven. That's a different kind. But over here, there's a particularized terasum naso, which means that at the moment that he's overcome by the beauty of Talmud Torah and he's involved in Talmud Torah, to turn away to daven would be a negation of the Talmud Torah. So it would be violating Osek b'mitzvah, Patam b'mitzvah. That was the situation that they had, that those Talmudim were involved in. And that situation is Patam. You see, even b'smanazei Patam, if a person is involved in Talmud Torah b'rabim, a person is giving a shir, b'rabim. He's giving a shir, in a public shir. And he remembers he didn't daven mincha, and time's going to pass by. He's not allowed to stop and daven mincha. That's also mitzvah patam mitzvah. The only thing is that by a regular person, we say you can't say that I'm involved in learning now, so I won't daven mincha. And then he said daven mincha and learn a little later. Daven mincha on your own time. But over here, it's speaking with the quality of the situation, the quality of the learning prevents you from saying that. Prevents you from saying. That daven now and then you'll do it later. Right. You can't do it in that situation. You're talking about people who had a very deep, very high level of a quality of learning. So for them, that's why I told them. So therefore, it's a negation of Torah. Anyone who negates Torah, you see, if there's a negation of Torah, that is ruin. That destroys already the person who's supposed to be omer lifnei Hashem and be mispal. So it's tefillah. So his tefillah is worthless. His tefillah is a worthless tefillah. That's what Reb Zera told. The essence of man is brought about through a chachma. Without the chachma, there's no tefillah, there's no nothing. Without chachma, person, there's no tefillah. Chachma is the essence. Chachma is the essence. If tefillah is an attitude of the person, the highest level of tefillah is an attitude of the person when he's in a certain state. You see, but chachma is the essence of the whole personality. And if he turns away from the essence of the whole personality, then there's no person to be mispalat. That's why it's filasa toeva, because you must have the person who is mispala. But what builds the person? What makes the person is Torah. So if he turns away from that which makes his essence, then you can't speak about an attitude of an individual, even if it's the greatest fila, if you can't compare that to what makes up his essence, which is the chachmas Torah. So you can't turn away at that moment. Turning away from Torah would be wrong. You're speaking about a high level of involvement. It's not for everybody. I mean, but for them, that was appropriate. The man was involved in the highest level, which is Talmud Torah, and to break away from that and stand at daven, that's wrong. The whole field is nullified. Yonah, Agav Orchem. You mentioned about Yonah. Why was Kavish Nevoasa? I mean, it's very hard, very difficult to case there. Why? What was he doing?
Away from God.
Running away from God, and he's running in the ship, and he's taking a. What is this? You see? I know we never have a chance really to talk about Yonah. So I'd just like to just briefly tell you what I think the pshat is over there. First of all, the Ibn Ezra points out over there that it says when Yonah ran away, I mean, again, here's a situation where people take a Navi like it's a fairy tale. You know, he's running away from God. It never says that Yonah was running away from God. Anyone that knows Diktuk. It doesn't say Vayivrach Yonah mepnei Hashem. That would mean to run away from God. It says mi lifnei Hashem every time. You take a look at the numbers. Mi lifnei, not mipnei. Whenever it says somebody ran away from somebody else, it says vayivrach mipnei achiv. Mipnei means from in front of him, ran away from him. Mi lifnei means from being in the presence of God. The Ibn Ezra points it out. What it meant was that he wasn't physically trying to run away. What he was trying to do was he was trying to avoid the nevuah. Avoid Nevoah. And he wanted to, that's why he left Eretz Yisrael, to avoid Nevoah. Why did he want to avoid? What was disturbing him so much? What bothered him? It's a hard question, because the Navi doesn't seem to say it. There's a lot of different pshatim. Some say, no, he said on the contrary. He says, because I know.
Yisrael.
Well, Bigunite Kal Yisrael. Yeah, they say they'll make comparisons.
Nineveh, and they would do Tshuva and Kal Yisrael.
So, I mean, so that's why Nineveh. I mean, it's hard that that's not just. It doesn't seem to be just, you know?
No, they said he didn't want them, in the future they're going to destroy.
In the future, Ashur would destroy the Jews, so he didn't want to play a role in that. Mm. But he doesn't seem to say that. But take a look at what he says. He says, that's why I ran away when God confronted him in the end. So he says, why did I run away? Because I know that you're a racham lechanon. He says, v'nicham al ra. You see? So that he said, because I know that you got a racham lechanon. What kind of a strange expression is that?
That should be the reason why you have
to take care of yourself.
The answer is that, I think the answer is that, you see, they were known Rishoyim, the Assyrians. And he felt that when a person reaches a certain level of rishis, that they should not be permitted to do tshuva. You see? Because he felt that since their name embodies evil, so what will the world say when these people are can get away with it? You see? He felt that they have to be destroyed.
You know.
Not like Nazi Germany, for instance. I'm not saying they would be safe. I'm not saying they were. That's the only guy. I'm just saying that. You see, I would say no. I'm not going there because these people embody evil, embody rishis, and the only benefit that they can serve to the world is that they should be destroyed, so that people should recognize that that they deserve to be destroyed, that they're totally evil. And that's what he said. He said, I didn't want to go. He says, because I knew ki ata chanan racham lachanan v'necham al ra, and I didn't want to play any role in saving these rishoyim, who I feel that according to my das, the best thing would be that they should be destroyed, and that the world should see that rishoyim like that do not deserve to exist. That's what his dilemma was. That's what I think his dilemma
What's
was.
Strange is he doesn't have a reaction about.
I'm not. I gave a bad example. I just wanted to give it to show you the idea. I mean, the Nazis are Yimach Shemam are Molech and they're Chayef Kliya. I mean, I'm not trying to say. I'm just giving you an exaggerated example to show you an idea of how a person would feel towards. To such a thing. It is not. I'm not in any way indicating that it would be appropriate to have any feeling of Rahmanis towards a Nazi. I mean, on the contrary, it's a Chayef Kliya and it's a Molech, real Molech. But I'm just giving you as an example of what his dilemma was, to show you. The lesson was, what was the lesson? I mean, with the Atachasta al Kikana. That's right. That's right. What God was saying was.
What was the mushal of
the mushal was the with the tree. Shebin Lila, Shebin Lila Kikoyan. Shebin Lila is giving him shade, and he says, "And you had Atachasta al Kikana." Shebin Lila Haya.
It wasn't the work of your hands.
It wasn't the work of your hands.
One night it grew.
And one night, and you already felt to say, had already a certain feeling towards the Kikoyon, and you liked it, you were attached to it already, you see? What God was telling him is that you cannot understand the nature of my Rahmanas. You cannot understand the nature of how I am a Racham Lachanan. It's a different dimension. Because since I'm the creator of the universe, I'm the creator of everything, so my Rahmanis is based on a totally different foundation. It's a foundation that you as a Navi can never perceive. It's a different dimension of Racham Lachana. And that's why we say that Haftarah on Yom Kippur Mincha. Because it expresses the fact that God's Rahmanis, that his pity, his kindness, his chesed, is on a different level completely. We can't perceive what it means, but Hashem, Hashem, Ker, Racham, Racham. We have no idea what it is. You see? It's a different dimension. Even a Navi could not perceive it. And a Navi thought it was wrong, as a matter of fact. You see, he ran away. He could not conceive of it. And it was not within his framework. I mean, Yonah ran away. It wasn't just a matter of running away. He could not, it was not within his framework. He had to go according to his mind, according to his das, and was not within his framework. And then the conclusion was that God demonstrated to him that there must be place. It must be a place within your mind for something that's outside of your framework. And that is the nature of my rachmanis, which cannot be, you can never understand it, but you have to accept it and act according to it. That's the limud of yonah. That's the limud of yonah. There's a difference, however, between the yonah running away, which was also according to his mind. Why did he run away? Because according to his mind, he couldn't do it. He couldn't follow it. But it wasn't the same thing as Eliyahu. It was different. Because by Eliyahu was a matter of an impossibility, a contradiction, a logical contradiction which would destroy his whole framework. With Yonah, it wasn't a destruction of his framework. It was simply that according to his framework, he felt that this was, he could not function. He couldn't function according to his framework. You have to understand, when you read about Yonah, everything, how could he run away from God? I wouldn't do anything like that. You know, it's not you have to understand the dilemma that he was faced. According to his framework, he couldn't function. He could not function as a Navi. He couldn't do it. And that's why he had to escape. He had no choice but to escape. And Navi has dilemmas also. Navi is not so easy being a Navi. If he's being a Navi, that's it. Navi has faced with the same dilemmas. It's just he's in a different frame, a different range. But a Navi has Navi also has Bechira, Kovesh Nevuaso. He's a person like anybody else. But of course, he's a person that has privy to certain knowledge that we don't have. But you see, he has his own dilemmas. That was the dilemma of Yonah. And God was able to, the only way that God was able to cure him was through the demonstration in which he had to make room in his mind for something outside of his framework. That was the conclusion. The point that we're making is that a Navi works according to knowledge. A person who doesn't function according to knowledge has no problem. Whatever God tells him, he'll do. But a person that functions according to knowledge like a Navi cannot function if his knowledge fails him. And that's why in this instance it didn't make any sense in this framework of knowledge. So he couldn't function. That's the point. Until God showed him the lima from the Kikayon, then he was able to understand and work according to knowledge. Which shows you that the Nevi'im worked according to knowledge. That was that's all the other Navi. He's no different than us in that respect. Exactly. In other words, what we're saying is that precisely because the Navi is the Navi, he works on a higher, he functions on a higher level, and his function is totally one of knowledge, that he can't function without the knowledge. You see, nowhere does the Torah criticize the same Navi was an over avera. It doesn't criticize. You see, you think that'd be chayav mis immediately, right? But you don't see that in the Torah. The reason is because he a regular person would not question whatever God says he does, because he's ignorant, so he doesn't work with knowledge. A Navi functions only with knowledge. Since his function is based upon knowledge, if his knowledge fails him, his whole modus operandi is failing. He has no way of functioning. He has no way of working. He simply can't do it. It'd be tantamount to giving a psak to from Moshe giving a psak to a plain person or to a Talmud Chacham. The plain person will always follow him. A Talmud Chacham who works according to knowledge, he may find difficulty with the psak. He wouldn't be able to do it so quickly. He has conscience. He doesn't understand. You see? So he has to work according to knowledge. The higher the person is, the more he has to work according to knowledge. And the less he simply just does, it's his whole makeup changes. His makeup is tied into knowledge to a greater degree. He can't function without it, you see. To a regular person, knowledge doesn't mean anything. He just takes orders. That's not the Navi isn't a person who just takes orders. The Navi is a person who's on a level where his function is totally tied in with his knowledge to such a degree that if the knowledge fails, his function fails. He can't do it, you see. Okay. Okay, the only thing I want to add is that this explains the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu arguing with God for 7 days, or wherever you have a case where the Navi argues with God. So why doesn't the Navi just accept what God says? So the answer is because the Navi is a person that has to work according to knowledge, and since he has to work according to knowledge, he simply can't function if the knowledge isn't available to him. He functions in a different way than an ordinary person. An ordinary person will be able to listen to anything. A Navi can't, because a Navi has, since Chochmah plays an essential role in his function, so if he doesn't understand it, he can't function.
Now he says a Navi must ask.
It means also that the whole Shlichas has to be done with Das. If it's not done with Das, it's nothing. Therefore he has to understand it. That's the same shot with regard to Avram. Why am I chasanim Avram Asher Ani Yosef? Because the point is that Avram really had Avram Shlichas was, Lamana Sheitzav Es Bonam Es Beitzo Achrov, Lishmor Es Derech Hashem. And the pshat is that if he did not understand the mishpat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he wouldn't be able to do it. Because it says, Lasos, Man Shetazman, Lasos, Dokka Mishpat. And if he did not understand the mishpat of God, then he would not be able to he will not be able to function in his capacity as giving over Stockholm Mishpat. Means God's Mishpat. If he doesn't understand God's Mishpat, he can't do it. So they have to understand that Stockholm Mishpat, Rakadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, he couldn't do it.
This is a shiur from Sunday, March 23rd.
Drishas Hashem b'matzah, there's two types of Drishas Hashem. One type of Drishas Hashem was a person is shav, is a chazer b'tshuva. That's one type of Drishas Hashem. The other type of Drishas Hashem is what the pasuk says in Tehillim, Ayesh maskil darash elokim. It means not his darash elokim insofar as tshuva is concerned. It is darash, he's darash Hashem through chachma. Over there, really, smachtam of nair Hashem elokim is only with the Drisha of chachma. The drisha of tshuva is not smach mufnei lakechem. It's a different kind of a concept. That's mufnei Hashem to Torah, really. It's a different thing. It's a different phenomena. There's different types of drisha Hashem. One type of drisha Hashem is through the philosophical, metaphysical drisha. That's really the mo'adim. And the other type of drisha Hashem is through a person investigating in his own deeds and his own actions and the nature of his soul. An internal investigation. There's an external and an internal. The internal one is mufnei Hashem to Torah. That's a different kind of that's Drish Hashem b'matzo. That's a different type of. They're both Drish Hashem, really. Drish Hashem has to take place on an internal external level, but the external one is a smach mufnei Hashem lakechem. The internal one is a mufnei Hashem to Torah. That's Yom Kippur. Two different types of Drish.
External. Yeah. What's
the external? External means through chachma. Through chachma Hashem. That's external.
Like limud, just
limud.
Limud.
Limud Torah. Limud Torah. Right. That's right. That's right. Okay. So next one is Malbin Pnei Chaver Barabin.
Malbin. Why not
Yechid? No, Yechid is not the same. Malbin Pnei Chaver, because we have public embarrassment. Social concept. So the Malbin Pnei Chaver Barabin, as a matter of fact, is a Machlekes HaRishonim. There are many that hold that it's Yehorig Val Yavar, because of the incident with Yud and Tamar. So the incident of Yud and Tamar, that the Gemara says, "Mutav sheyashlech adam esatzmo b'tuch kivshin ha'esh, while Yab nechver b'rabin." That you don't want to degrade Yehuda. So even though it wasn't an avera they did, because that time was before the halachic system, before Matan Torah, so he was allowed to live with the zonah. But nevertheless, that's what the Ram mentions in the Gemara. But since it was an act which involves the physical part of man, and the physical part of man represents the lower part, so therefore, that is, it was degrading to make any references to it with regard to a great person like Yehuda. So therefore, she didn't want to embarrass him. So she'd rather have died through Sreifa. So many hold, there are many Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah of Yatesvus holds that is literally means that if a person would be in a situation where he'd have to embarrass somebody publicly, he'd have to allow himself to be killed. You have to lance over the kill. The Rabbi Yonah says it over here. He says it's a tolda. He says because the three major halachas, major isurim, the one is not permitted to violate, even though it cost him his life, is gilui arayos, avodah zarah, and shfichas damim. So he says it comes under their extensions to all these things. Like the Gemara has a category of Gilui Arayos, the Gemara has a category where a person was sick, and he said that he wanted to see this. The doctor said that he has to see this woman. He wants to see this woman naked. So the Gemara says, so what's it's not a major violation, but nevertheless they said that no, he can't. He has to die. Let him die. And later he said just to speak to her, even to speak to her. He said no, he can't. Bizraya Darayos. Because it's an extension, and Yisra Arayas is extended, and it's Yahar Val Yavar. You have to let the man die, even though it means it's not an Issa B. It's not technically speaking, it's not an Issa Ish, but it's an extension of the it's Kirov La Arayas. Even on Kirov La Arayas is Yahar Val Yavar, and the same thing with their extensions of Avodas Kechovim, that if a person's sick, he can't use Atzei Asherah, and he mentions and he says over here, similarly over here. You have an extension of what? Extension of Shvichas Damim. So why is it an extension of Shvichas Damim? Because there are two types of. You see, the reason why It's Yarg Val Yavar when it comes to killing a person. It's not because you're doing something that's permanent, a permanent action, because you're removing the person from the world. You can't bring him back. If you say that, so then when you embarrass him, so he'll be unembarrassed. In another hour, he'll be unembarrassed. So why can't you embarrass him? But the answer is, doing an action. It's the nature of the action which is Yarg Val Yavar. Nature of the action. Now, destroying a person physically is one type of destruction, but destroying a person emotionally is, for a human being, that is tantamount, it's as painful, it's as serious as physical destruction. You see what happened with Donald Manus recently.